Hout would venture again on the word of this morning, that they that wait upon the Lord, it's in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But they, it is spoken in a contradiction, isn't it, to those that do not wait upon the Lord, set forth in the figure of those that are strong and healthy and young and tireless, that seem to have no need to wait upon the Lord for renewal of strength, set forth in the scripture so often as the strong. But you know, we do read, don't we, that the Lord taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man or in the strength of the horse. They are things which rightly we could take pleasure in. The feats of men and women today are commendable. The stress and the fitness and all that. But the Lord takes no pleasure in it. A vain glory. And the strength and beauty of a horse, it's well known, and books have been written on it, and of course it is a beautiful creature. The Lord doesn't take pleasure in it any more than any one other one of his creation. The Lord does take pleasure in them that fear him, and that is both humbling and a cause of thanksgiving. Whatever you are in life, your position in life, if you can have that humble fear that you do fear God, you're amongst those that the Lord takes pleasure in, delights in, and are blessed of God. Wouldn't it be a pleasure to live and die under that, in under that blessing and feeling, that I may be as I am, but at least I fear God. And I've been kept from the powers of the destroyer. My hope is in Christ. My strength is in the righteousness of Christ. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my sun, to enlighten and warm and cheer, and my shield of defense to save me from all mine enemies. There, surely that's the blessedness of the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered, and that from all eternity. And the blessedness of the people of God that fear God. But they that wait upon the Lord. We often compare in our own spirit and in the ministry those that fear God and those that fear him not. And among the congregations of the righteous. And I would look on you here and I say, how are you come to wait upon God today? If you're in an unregenerate state still, and I hope it's not spoken of any of us, but if you were so, the Lord would say, what have you come to wait upon me for? Is there any plea in your heart? Any cry in your heart? Any need in your heart? What have you come to the house of God for today? Have you come to wait upon me? Have you come as a weary one to have your strength renewed? The Lord could say, I can't see any need, I can't see any want, I can't see any desire, you seem self-sufficient. And all these things, you see, the Lord could say, couldn't he? For the Lord knoweth the heart. And I thought, as I saw you coming up to the house of God today, and I thought, well, some of you are not running. Some of you are crippled now by the infirmities of age. And I thought, what a testimony if by divine grace you're attending the house of God. For others would make many excuses. Well, I can't really get there. It's such an effort. And I thought, yes, they may only be hobbling along, but they're running in the ways of the Lord. Their feet are hasting toward the Lord's house. They'd sooner be there than anywhere. Is that true of you? And they shall walk and not faint. There's a beautiful parallel, I feel, in this waiting upon God to the psalm that we read, the 84th. Now that's the pilgrim's psalm. And that's of the beauty and amiability of God's tabernacle. When God called his people, his chosen, the males thrice a year and others to Zion to worship God in his holy place. You cannot but fail to notice the glory that was set before them, the glory that they delighted in, the attraction of that holy place and the worship of the Lord's holy name, that it was to their spirit. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I was glad when they said, let us go up unto the house of the Lord in another psalm. That says the song, which was written, of course, for their education and for their encouragement at such times as they ascended up to the house of God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, that is the way to Jerusalem, make it a well. The rain thereof fills the pools, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appearing before God. Now, if they got no heart to go on this pilgrimage, and if after all the difficulties of the way they got into Jerusalem, and if every one of them appeared in Zion before God, what would the Lord say to them? Well, you've no heart. You've not been attracted by my glory, or the glory of the place, or the glory of grace, or the glory of mercy, or the glory of goodness. You've not been attracted by that. You've come with the others. Oh, said the psalmist, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. I draw my strength, such as it is, I draw it from love of God. And as I spoke this morning, our strength is in righteousness in God's sight, his justifying mercy, pardoning love and favour. And he gives his people strength. They stand in his sight, not strong in their own strength, but strong in the might of the Lord Jesus Christ, with his righteousness on. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. That's how I shall appear now, and that's how I shall appear at last, with thy righteousness on. Now blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, when called to worship God with a happiness of heart, rises and overcomes all the difficulties. There were difficulties in the way to Zion. The psalm speaks of them. It would appear a well-worn path. There were pools made to catch the water, for there was no water laid on. There were resting places in the way, in the valley, which was a dry valley. There were companies of God's people they would meet within the way, on the same journey. There were resting places where they could be refreshed, and refreshed not only with food and drink, but refreshed with one another's company. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now if you should take this, of course we only meet in such circumstances, but you know, if we were told to go to a long pilgrimage and we all set off from here, you'd think, well, now there's young ones, they're strong, and there's able-bodied men and women, and there's those that are frail. Well, now we've got to help one another, and the journey's going to be too great for some. And if you take a spiritual pilgrimage in the Church of God, it's something like that, isn't it? We're pilgrims, we're journeying on. We come to these spots and places, and there are times when we meet with God's people to encourage them and tell them of what the Lord hath done for our souls, how he appeared unto us in the way, and how he helped us in the way, and to assure others that he will be their helper too. They go from strength to strength. It may be said, from one watering place to another, from one time of refreshing to another. Whatever it means, it has the same picture. There's a strengthening when you meet. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God in all the pilgrimages of his people was that. It was a light by night and a shield by day in his presence with the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he is a sun and a shield. Spiritually considered, like in that natural journey, the sun would have been consuming and the cold by night would have been withering. And they would have needed a shield from their enemies. Now, pilgrimage journey is before us again in the thought connected with our text today. And in this, it's a case for waiting upon the Lord. Blessed, said the psalmist, is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. It's heart work, isn't it? I've said before today, and I shall say it again, it's, have we any heart all these things? You say, no, my heart's like a stone, I just don't care. And perhaps some of you might say, well, I do care, but I'm not impressed, I'm not moved, I've no real heart to go on the pilgrimage. And some that have been before might say, oh, I really can't go again, I really can't face up to all the heat and the cold and all the threatenings of animals by night. I can't really stand up to it. I've got no heart for it. And when we get to the end of it, ah, said the psalmist, oh, the happiness as well as the blessedness. Oh, the happiness of a man who has got some heart, whose strength the Lord is. The Lord will lighten our darkness, and the Lord will strengthen us in our weakness, won't he? And they that trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, that is something of the word before us. But as for waiting upon the Lord, take Elijah for a moment. Elijah, before the prophets of Baal, vindicated his prophetic call and office. The Lord sent down fire from heaven, and the Lord did great things for Elijah. But before a woman, in unbelief, he was weak, and settled in the desert, and I only am left. Here you see, he was despairing of life. Now, you couldn't imagine one weaker, could you? But God's mercy was toward him. We don't read that he even waited upon the Lord, but, and he would have said, surely I wasn't waiting upon the Lord, I was in self-pity giving up. But we don't know. We don't know the prayers of a righteous man till we come into them. You don't know till you come into certain places what your prayers will be either. But the Lord's mercy was toward him, and the angel of the Lord came and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. In other words, Elijah, you have a journey to go which I have appointed to you, and it's too great for you. You'll need sustenance, you'll need what is prepared for you. Arise and eat it, don't despise it. Arise and eat it, you'll need it. He giveth power to the faint. And Elijah was faint hearted, wasn't he? To them that have no might, he increases strength. Elijah would have said, I've got no might, Lord. No. He's got might to stand against 750 prophets of Baal. His might fled him when he faced an adulterous woman. Where's our courage fled, we've sung, haven't we? Where's our courage fled us? Sin struck it all dead. Unbelief struck it all dead. When our Elijah ate and went on his journey, didn't he? And I, pondering another case of one who waited upon the Lord in a time of judgment. You would think that waiting upon the Lord is a very holy matter, that it belongs to those that are truly fearing God and in a righteous way and case and not sinful as you feel to be so often. Well, yes, I can quite see Simeon waiting upon the Lord. And Anna, a devout one, I can quite see them, but what about David? Yes, David, a man after God's own heart. David left to his unbelief and to his sin, and adding sin to sin, and enduring the judgment of God, thou shalt not die, but thy son shall die. David waited while the child died. He got weaker and weaker and died. And then when the child died, he arises and washes himself and goes in before the Lord and worships. Oh, but his servant said in effect, he can't act like this. We expected him to go to pieces. We expected him to absolutely go to grief when the child had died. No, but David had had 7 days in sackcloth and ashes and his friends with him. And David had waited upon the Lord in the way of his judgments. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. And David came into that experience. The Lord had weighed his path and found him unjust and found him wanting and had judged him. And in the way of God's judgments, David was waiting upon his God for the death of his son. And when the child died, he went into the house of God and worshipped. Not what, he didn't say, what point is it in me rebelling? What can I do about it in any case? No. He fell under the hand of God. And David received strength, not to fall to pieces, but strength to go into the house of his God confess his sin, and pray that beautiful penitence psalm, "Heal the bones, O Lord, which thou hast broken." See, no rebellion there, was there? He was waiting upon the Lord. I come again to this part, "But they that wait upon the Lord." And I put these questions to you. Are you waiting upon the Lord then this afternoon? Well, are you waiting upon him as the only true God? You say, "Yes, I wouldn't want to wait upon a God that wasn't true." Are you waiting upon the God that alone can hear you? "Yes, I wouldn't want to wait upon a God that doesn't hear and that cannot see or cannot deliver." Are you waiting upon a God who is just and holy and all wise? You say, "Yes, I'm waiting upon." Are you only waiting upon God? You say, "Yes, I can't trust myself." Are you waiting for his sovereign blessing? "Oh, I want him to do what he will, which seemeth good in his sight." Blessed place to be, isn't it? "But they that wait upon the Lord." And the Lord loves such that wait upon him, commanded such to wait upon him. "They shall not be ashamed that wait for thee." God is faithful. God has promised. God has promised not to turn away those that wait for him, but to renew their strength. If I said simply this morning, and of course there's a profound truth in it, that the strength of every poor sinner taught by the Spirit under conviction of sin to know that he has no strength at all, no strength to pray, no strength to present a righteousness, no strength to lay hold on eternal life, no strength to face the future, if your strength is in alone the Lord Jesus Christ. You know those Israelites. God didn't say, "Now rise up and take up your bed and walk." All he said to those that were bitten and dying of that venom was, "Look and live." They could do no more, but must do no less. Look and live. And it is the same when our strength is weakened in the way. Why, we might well feel he's to destroy us. No, he won't destroy us. He bid us look and give us strength to look. And those that look lived. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is such that he came to seek and to save the lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And repentance is the Spirit's rising beam. I love that expression. It is his Spirit's rising beam. You know, we're powerless to preach to the heart, but the Spirit isn't. The Spirit can convey these words of truth and grace to your heart as his rising beam and cause you to look away to Jesus. Cause you to see in the Lord righteousness and strength. And so your strength is your righteousness and standing in the sight of God. How does he give you strength? By giving you to hope in his mercy and to trust in his name and to trust in his faithfulness. Now, if we take the graces of the Spirit, simple, aren't they? Faith and hope and love. If we take those graces that are exercised by the Spirit's rising beam, and if you take the truth that God has given his holy word, and that is the word of faith, from faith to faith, given by God for us to believe, as to strengthen our faith and take a simple view of it. You say, oh, I haven't got much faith, little faith. My faith is weak. And I say to you from the pulpit this afternoon, how is your faith increased? Well, in the exercise of it. As everything is increased in the exercise of it. But in God will I praise his word. God has ever given his truth in his word to guide us and to instruct us as to his name and nature and goodness and mercy and faithfulness. And your faith is just like that man who saw men as trees walking. It's unclear. And then through faith in his word, as the Holy Spirit shines upon it, your faith becomes clearer, shall we say? No. Your faith becomes stronger in the exercise of it. I told a story a little while ago of a man I read. It's a story I read of a vagrant who had lived an ungodly life, was blind and now dying in hospital, and was visited by a young woman, young lady. Well, young girl, really, I would think. And she said, shall I read to you the scriptures? And he said, yes. And as she read in John, the blood of Jesus Christ, his dear Son, cleanseth from all sin. And he stopped and he said, does it really say that? And she said, yes. Does it really say that? Yes, she said. He said, well, take my finger and put it on that word as you read it. And that was all the man seemed to want. It seemed to come into his heart. It seemed to fill him with hope. And in a little while, that man was gone. Well, we don't know the issue. And you might say, well, did he need to have his finger put upon that word? Didn't he really ought just to have trusted that word? Yes. Yes, that's all he needed. He didn't need to have his finger put on that word. But don't you feel it was an exercise of faith in the poor man? He'd neglected it all his life. He was in need of it now. He wanted to be assured it was there. And the exercise of his soul was, if it's there, then I can trust God, the God I'd neglected all my days. And in his dying moments, he exercised faith upon that word. He no need to have put his finger there now. But God is merciful. It's like that man in the scriptures, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you know, there's a good way of waiting upon the Lord to renew your strength is by faith. Now faith will be tried, and there is the exercise of faith, and there's the long patience and waiting in faith. And in the exercise of faith, your strength is renewed. Don't you feel Job had something of it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, that strong faith, that's a strong exercise of faith. It wouldn't have appeared so to Job, but it was. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you know, in the trial and exercise of faith, strength in God is renewed. Because this God is our God. You see, it's not just he is any God or other people's God. It's my God who has called me and who is leading me and is instructing my soul and opening my understanding that my faith and my hope might be in God. Now faith and hope go together, and so do love. But Abraham hoped against hope, didn't he? Surely nothing could seem more hopeless than what Abraham hoped in. And surely there were not more things that could have come against Abraham to kill that hope. But it was hope against hope. He waited upon the God of his hope. Let me not be ashamed of my hope would have been the language of his soul many, many a time. And you see, it's aggravated, isn't it, by our cruel foe. It's not worth you waiting. You've got no faith. You're altogether out of the secret. You've sinned against light and goodness. It's not worth you praying anymore. You might just as well give up. The Lord will be not favourable to you anymore. There's enough discouragements in the way. And in times of conflict and opposition, of course, there is a renewing of strength. It's strength to look only unto God and trust only in him, and your expectation only from him. Now, there are times when not only is it conflict, but there's times of rejoicing, and strength is renewed. Now, if we were to go on a pilgrimage journey like they did in that day, some would say, oh, it's such a long way, and it's such a great wide wilderness, and there's so many difficulties, and there's so many things to contend with. Well, now some would say, now come on, we're bidden to go by a great God, and the Lord will help us. He's promised to not leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to defend us. He's promised to be a shield around about us. And so with comforting words, one would encourage another. And the strong would encourage the weak and bear the burdens of the weak. And it isn't just a question of age or physical strength, is it? It's the spiritual life and vigour of those that know the Lord, and those that love the Lord, feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord heard and hearkened. You see, I wonder where we are in this great matter. Has the Lord from time to time renewed your strength? And your soul is strengthened by it, that you could encourage others. Surely in our spiritual life, and some of you have been in the way for many years now, would say, ah, this God is my God. I get very dry, but he is my God. He's all my hope and all my portion, and he will bring us through. And you know, that's good when you can get together. And that's good at times when you can encourage one another in the Lord, as well as encourage yourself in the Lord personally. David encouraged himself in his God. And David, no doubt, encouraged many others. Now, when you look at those principal graces, faith, hope, and love, you know, they're very good to ponder on, that these are profitable ways to wait upon and find your strength renewed in these matters. Who doesn't want his faith increased? O Lord, increase our faith. The disciples said, there are things to believe in holy doctrine that are hard to believe, that are difficult to understand. Since we've been with the Lord, what heavenly mysteries has he proclaimed to us in our understanding, and we still haven't grasped them? What holy mysteries what solemn things has he declared, and we still haven't grasped them. And now he talks about forgiving 70 times 7 when we'd hardly forgive 7 times. Lord, he said, increase our faith. You see, without faith increased, you're weak. You can't understand heavenly things. You can't understand, like Nicodemus, how can these things be? You can't understand the resurrection of the dead, that he spake of the temple of his body, that he should raise up after 3 days. You see, our strength is weakened in the way without faith. Who doesn't want an increase in faith? But it's in the trial of it, and in the proving of the patience of faith, where it's strengthened. And the soul through it exercises itself upon the goodness and faithfulness and bounty of God. You know the power of it. Lord, increase our faith. Sometimes we want our strength increased that we should be independent. And the Lord's will is never that we should be independent. Spiritual life is a life of dependency. And it's a life in dependency of ever knowing weakness and ever needing to be strengthened. Oh, it's a dependent life, and the source of that life is not from ourselves, it's from Christ. And if Christ is not continually increasing our strength, we shall be weak. When I am weak, said the apostle, then am I strong. When I'm leaning on the Lord, I'm strong. When I'm trusting in his sovereign grace, I'm strong. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Faithful saying, dear old Paul, all his lifetime still cleaving to a faithful saying. Others had turned from it, others had given it up, others had turned to another gospel, but he and others had kept to a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. He lived in it, died for it, glorified in it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now we need an increase of faith, but then we need an increase of hope. And hope against hope in times of conflict is the season when God sees fit to increase hope, strengthen hope in the soul. These are graces, and the Lord is sometimes pleased to do these things by giving us sweet foretastes and sweet assurances in our souls. Now, a sweet assurance of love and mercy is one of the surest ways for our strength to be renewed, for faith to be renewed, faith in God, for hope to be renewed, hope in God, hope against hope, and hope that will outlast all the difficulties of this present life. And love, why, for our love to be strengthened, so that our love does not fail. Now, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Why? Because that strength will be renewed from the Lord himself. If it wasn't for the Lord imparting of his own strength to us, none of us would have ever continued. When you think of his weakening of our strength in the way, so that we couldn't pray, we couldn't hope, we couldn't look to the cross, we couldn't hope that all that was wrought there was wrought for us, why, we became weak, didn't we? When the Lord brings us to the foot of his cross, and I trust he has, and I trust he yet will, for that's his way, often to bring his people to look upon him, and in their weakness and languishing to be renewed by viewing him who died for them, to draw strength from his strength. He died in weakness, was crucified in weakness. He bids sinners look upon him. and when they're languid, strength is spent, supplies it with his own. If you get into that place of weakness, I shall pray in you too that the Lord will just bring you once more to the fellowship of his suffering. Once more to look on the Lord your righteousness. And once more to see if there be any sorrows like unto my sorrows. Self-pity will flee away. All concern for self and its weakness will flee away, and the Lord will impart strength to your fainting spirit and to your fainting heart. And should the Lord speak for you, it was for you, and it is finished. Your faith will be strengthened, your hope will be nourished, your love will be deepened, and all the adamancy of sin and the hardness of unbelief you'll find will melt away. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, it's good to go into the house of God. It's good to desire to see no man save Jesus only. It's good to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest ye be faint and weary in your minds. You will be faint unless you consider him. You can well expect to be faint unless you consider him. But wait upon the Lord and keep his way and consider him who endured such contradiction against himself. Consider where he is now at the right hand of glory, and consider his words that he has spoken for your comfort. And consider the ways and the words he deals with sinners. Hasn't he sent forth his word and healed you? Hasn't he sent his grace and softened your hard heart that needed of the hammerings of the law and the guilt of conscience, and even that couldn't break it? But the warmth of his love has broken every barrier down. Thy love has broken every barrier down now to be thine and thine alone. O Lamb of God, I come. Is that not the renewing of your strength? To find every barrier that held your soul in a captive chain broken down. I will run in the ways of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. There's no running without enlargement. I've spoken of you that are weak now with love and desire, wanting to come to the house of God. Surely in times past you've said, with an enlarged heart, I love thy courts, I love thy gates. Let me get to the house of God, for there my God dwells, there his honour dwells. Well, now I will run, and none will hinder you when the Lord gives you an heart to run. None will hinder you from going on this pilgrimage when his ways are in your heart, when his honour is before your eyes, when faith sees him as the God to be exalted, and hope the God that you want to dwell with all eternity, and love that can't keep you from him until he come. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It doesn't mean to say, as the world would say, well, you're going to get stronger and stronger. You're not no weakness anymore. You're not no conflict anymore, unbelief anymore. It doesn't say that at all. To be strong in the Lord is one who's strong in faith, knows how to deal with these conflicts and are more than overcomers in them, and that's being upheld by his strength. It would be wonderful if we went from strength to strength and never knew weakness, wouldn't it? But I thought, as I saw a dear friend on his bed, and weakness was troubling him, but oh, as he turned to the scriptures and turned to the hymn, I thought, there's a man who's running in the ways of God, whose delight is in the things of the Lord, who wants to be right with God, who's wrestling with the powers of darkness, and yet shall be a more than overcomer. You young ones might say, oh, but that's just weakness. Well, there is a senile weakness. He's not afflicted with that. There is a weakness of body, and he is afflicted with that, but there's not evident weakness of soul. That man knows who his God is. That man knows where his salvation is from, and his mercy from. Knows that it's all of sovereign grace. And the enemy knows that he has had revealed to him to strengthen him in his life and faith on earth blessed sights of his Redeemer, of the covenant grace for his faith to fix upon and his hope to centre in, and blessed sights of a dear Redeemer for his soul in love to engage with, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, I won't speak any more, and I must come to a conclusion. Everyone, says the reading in that pilgrimage psalm, everyone in Zion appeareth before God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And it's not only a thought, it's truth. Those that had it in their heart to go on this pilgrimage journey, that strengthen themselves in God. And you know, there's no excuse for slothfulness. Well, all of us know, don't we? In our younger days, and mother in the home would say concerning a lot of work that suddenly come upon her, well, it's no good looking at it. It's no good bemoaning it. We must get on with it. We must get up and go. We must get up and do something about it. And this isn't legality in spiritual life, is it? There's no legal side here. It's the love of Christ constraining us. The love of God is in our heart, and in our heart are the ways of God, and in our heart being the ways of God, we will brook no interference and no denial and no hindrance, and we'll go, and the Lord God will go before us. And the Lord God will be a sun and a shield to us. And the Lord is our shield and our defence. And he will be our guide and our guard. And he will bring us through. And at last we shall appear in Zion. Will it be what we've done very well? That it's to our credit? No, not unto us, but unto thy great name give glory. And that's where the glory will be, unto his great and holy name, unto him that hath loved us and washed us and redeemed us unto God. But I leave you with that thought. Everyone in Zion appeareth before God. What a solemn appearing that must be. And yet what a blessed appearing for the children of God, those whose hearts are set on the ways of God in Zion. Well, one can but by faith anticipate it. I think we should be sweetly surprised to feel at last that we are brought through amidst all our doubts and fears. But what a sweet surprise that will be. Well, what is our chiefest joy in life? Well, to know the visits of his love and enjoy his favour, and at times be granted nearness to tell him all our case. And what have you told him? Is he your best beloved? Is he your only God and Saviour? Is he your rock and refuge? Is he your shield and defence? Be sad if we haven't told him these things, wouldn't it? But oh, how glad if we confess the Lord God in our hearts. How sweet if we confess him in the church of God below. How good if our testimony of our life is true, that we are followers of God through faith and patience to inherit the promises, sustained in hope by the precious promises of a God who cannot lie. For now the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Blessing, we pray,
and for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of God the Holy Ghost, to be with us now and evermore. Amen.